Welcome to episode 490 of the Entertainment 2.0 podcast, brought to you by thedigitalmediazone.com. I'm Josh Pollard.
And I'm Richard Gunther, and this is the show that puts you in control of your favorite movies, music, shows, and games. Usually. Tonight, mostly video and games. But we'll get into that after we address our feedback, because we have, Josh, three pieces of feedback.
From how many people?
One.
Ah, yes. Our friend, Captain Lawn Paul.
So Paul sent us feedback in three parts, and we learned that he does this because he apparently sends us feedback while he's listening. And so we end up with multiple pieces here. So we're not going to try and cram this all together because it probably wouldn't make sense.
Right.
Part one. Paul says, as I listen to you guys talk about how HBO Max is going to confuse us because of CW and all the other content, all I'm thinking about is DC Universe. Are they getting all those originals? What about the rest of the catalog? This makes me think maybe I should subscribe to DC if I can get everything they offer. Maybe I shouldn't subscribe to DC, sorry. If I can get everything they offer and more by using HBO Max. Ready to really get confused? Netflix is a partner with DC Universe and helped produce the show Titans. It's considered a Netflix original in all countries except the US. DC Universe holds that right. What's going on? So I'm going to look at these like from the back forward. So what's going on there is not significantly different, I don't think, from the originals that Netflix has for the Marvel universe, or Marvel rather. Marvel had Marvel, not the chip maker, rather the storytellers. So they have a bunch of originals that are Netflix originals, but they're part of the Marvel cinematic universe, if you will. And I call it the cinematic universe because they tied those series fairly tightly into what we know has happened in the movies. Like, they've referenced them periodically.
Right.
So I don't think that this is anything significantly different from that. If anything, it kind of shows that Netflix is, I don't know, Switzerland.
Really? That's what you're going with?
Yeah, why not?
Netflix is Switzerland?
Yeah, why not? I mean,
I don't think so.
You know, they're going to be doing stuff with everybody. They work with everybody. If they think it's going to make them money.
Maybe. I don't know. That doesn't sound like Netflix to me, but maybe you're right. I'm just as confused as Paul. I totally didn't think about DC Universe at all when we were talking about this last week, partly because I'm not into DC Comics, but Paul is, and Paul's been a big proponent of DC Universe, and it does seem to make sense that if they're going to try to consolidate some of Warner's larger offerings into one service, that maybe they do combine that DC Universe stuff in. I think the problem, though, is that DC Universe is more than just streaming video. It's also comic book offerings and some other stuff like that. So does it make sense to subscribe to HBO Max video streaming and get access to comic books? Maybe not. So maybe they break it up and DC Universe doesn't include the videos anymore. It's just the other stuff. They move all the videos over to HBO Max and then they make DC Universe cost less money because you're not getting streaming video. I don't know. There's a lot of different ways they can go with that. And I kind of tend to think that consolidation in general is better because it's less confusing. Like,
right.
In some ways, you know, we have talked in the past about how some of this consolidation is in some ways more confusing
because of the branding.
Right. Because we were talking about this a couple episodes ago with the new NBC Universal stuff.
Right. Right.
Where, like, how am I going to know that I should open up the NBC app to watch USA?
Right.
Like, most people wouldn't know that. So it really does go both ways. And I'm going to be really curious to see what they end up doing with DC Universe. And I think part of it also comes down to how successful is DC Universe.
Yeah. Yeah. I also think we need to kind of calm down a little bit about the whole HBO Max thing. We're not going to see it for 9 months.
Right.
So until this thing comes out, I'm not taking anything they're saying to the bank. I think we need to see how this ends up morphing between now and then. I'm not convinced it's going to be 100% what they're talking about today.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. His next piece of feedback says, I know why I'm reading this one, because it's Paul saying, I 100% agree with Richard.
Thank you, Josh. It's great to hear you say that.
Gosh, thanks, Paul, for making me say that on the show. Anyway, Paul says, because none of these are my words, Paul says that Xbox mobile device controller will likely never happen. I remember hearing something about it 3 or 4 years ago when the patent for Xbox AR goggles, that's augmented reality, and haptic gloves was found. So, yeah, I love Microsoft, but I think they like their patents more than they like products. Interesting statement there. He says, also, Josh, when trying to explain the controller, I just wanted you to say, it's like a Nintendo Switch controller. That paints a perfect picture of the design and makes me think Nintendo would fight Microsoft if they ever did make this product.
Mm.
Paul, you're right that maybe describing it like the Nintendo Switch Joy-Cons would have painted that picture in a more clear way for more, you know, core gamers, you know, people who are familiar with the Nintendo Switch and things like
right.
that.
Right.
Yeah.
But, all right.
But it's actually comfortable in all of that, unlike the Nintendo Switch Joy-Cons.
Well, so, or presumably it is, as far as we know.
Right.
All right. Part three is addressed to you.
Mm-hmm.
He says, Josh, 2 pieces of advice. 1, spend the extra $2 when you sign up for Hulu and get it ad-free. You'll begin to see that DVR is a dead technology and Hulu is great. Hold your response. There's more. 2, don't cancel after you finish Veronica Mars. Use Hulu so you don't have the issues you had last season with The Good Place. He continues, speaking of Hulu, I've sent in feedback that Google Assistant still needs native support for Hulu. I've been waiting to say, hey, dingus, watch Family Guy. It's a joke that it still cannot. They announced that it would over a year ago. Netflix, HBO, CW, even Crackle has native support. Once a week, I send feedback on my Google Home about this. Once a month, I send feedback to Hulu. Last month, I even tweeted to Hulu support. And he also shared the specific tweet, which I'm not going to repeat here. But yeah, absolutely. Send feedback when you have frustrations about stuff that isn't working or that isn't getting released yet, particularly if a vendor or a company has announced it. You know, they probably want to hear whether people actually want this stuff.
Right. Sending feedback is always a good idea, especially if you're respectful. Be respectful.
Yeah, definitely be respectful. All right. Now let's go back in this. Josh, $2. I won my $2. All right. Somebody gets points if they can name that movie. Anyway, are you going to spend $2 and get it ad-free? Come on.
I would love to spend $2 and get it ad-free, but it's not $2.
Really?
No, I'm looking at the page right now. Regular Hulu is $5.99 a month.
Oh.
Hulu with no ads is $11.99.
Because they dramatically reduced the price of the ad-free version, or of the,
yes,
the ad version, right?
Correct.
Oh, yeah, that's a big difference. That's a double, yeah, almost.
Right.
Wow.
Right.
All right. I get it. Now he says, if you did that, you begin to see that DVR is a dead technology. What do you say, Josh?
haven't we kind of been saying that since video on demand came into play?
Oh, Josh, you're killing me. You're killing me.
I mean, even before things like streaming VOD, when we had cable VOD, there were a lot of people who were like, I don't really need to DVR things because it's right here on VOD and I don't need to worry about my DVR filling up and all that stuff. And there are points to be made there in that it's more simple. You don't have to worry about the management of it, but you do lose some control. And usually in cases where the VOD service has ads, you usually can't skip them
right
in a VOD scenario.
Right.
Whereas if you had a DVR, you can fast forward through those things. And you don't have any control over how long that content stays on the VOD service.
Bing, 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 bing. Right.
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 So there are pros and cons. I'm cool with both. Like I'm not willing to say that DVRs are dead, but VOD is awfully convenient.
It's so dead, Josh. It's dead. Only 50% of households still have DVRs.
Not dead yet.
Well, I mean, that's my point, right? It is a waning technology. It will eventually go away at some point in all likelihood. It's not dead. 50% of TV households have DVRs still.
How many of them use them, though?
I don't know the answer to that.
Because, I mean, it's been a long time since I've looked at, you know, that sort of usage data. But I remember when we used to look at it more in the past, and it was like, sure, everyone's got a DVR because that's what you get from your cable company. But most people were still just watching live TV.
Hmm. Suckers.
Yeah. So, spoilers for later in the show. I did sign up for Hulu, and no, I did not pay twice the price. I went for the ad-free version. But I am taking, I'm not really taking Paul's advice. It was always my plan. I'm not planning to cancel Hulu after Veronica Mars, because there is content there that my family wants to watch, primarily Chopped and, you know, some of that type of stuff. Jen, like, Chopped is like the only show on TV Jen cares about. She could just watch that all the time. And my oldest daughter loves Chopped, and there's lots of other stuff on there. So I signed up for Hulu over the weekend. I've watched it none hours so far. My kid has watched it a bunch.
All right. I have a question for you.
Oh, you do?
I do. What device are you using to watch Hulu?
Oh, I think mostly so far just the Android TV via the NVIDIA Shield.
Okay. All right. Not the TiVo. Any particular reason?
You know, I didn't look to see if it was on the TiVo because I kind of figured it wouldn't be.
Okay.
So it is on there?
Of course it is. Why would you think it wouldn't be there?
I don't know, because their app store is actually fairly limited.
It is, but they have all the majors. So
they don't have Spotify.
Yeah, but that's not a video service.
I know it's not a video, but it's a major thing that I want on my TV.
All right. Okay. Oh, well. All right. Well, speaking of video, let's dive into our video topics, because that is the bulk of the news this time. And the first story is about HD Home Run. The HD Home Run DVR is getting an updated user interface. Now, we talked about this before. We talked about how they were beta testing some changes to the UI, and they are now in the process of rolling that out. I have the update, and I've played with it a little bit. It is fine. They've changed some things very subtly. They've made the fonts a little bit larger in some areas, like on the recording and task screen, where they really needed to be much bigger than they were for a 10-foot interface. So that's good. They've also kind of cleaned up some of the options for recordings, which were, quite frankly, just a little bit, they looked a little bit, band-aid-y before. They looked like where you add time to before a recording and after a recording seemed like it was just jammed in there. The fonts didn't even match and everything. So that's been cleaned up a lot. They also have that new timeline in the Discover view where the content now scrolls left and right based on time, which is a much needed improvement to finding content on the service. So I'm pretty happy about that. Have you had a chance to try this at all yet?
Well, I don't currently have my antenna plugged into the HD Home Run, but I wanted to fire up the app on my Windows PC to A, see if it was updated, and B, see if it would still work for some of those things. And definitely the biggest change that I noticed was the change in how the Discover view works. The DVR wasn't showing anything for me, maybe because I'm not really sure why. I haven't used that DVR in a long time. So I can't really talk to the DVR changes, but that Discover view is so much better. Like, I like it so much more now that they have that horizontal left to right scrolling for the time slots. Like, I still think that for users like you with a cable card tuner, that's going to still be somewhat overwhelming in the amount of vertical scrolling you might have to do based on the number of channels that you have.
It is. Yeah, absolutely.
But at least it's not essentially infinite vertical scrolling right. The way it used to be.
Right. Yeah. No, exactly. So I think they've done a good job there in terms of trying to represent that content a little bit more linearly. I think it helps.
Yeah, I think it helps a ton. With having an OTA set up in my house, I really like it. I mean, it's never overwhelming. It's like 6-ish thumbnails per time slot. It's super easy to go forward and back. I really, really like it. Way more than I thought I would.
Cool. Now, there are other changes in there as well. They're a little bit more subtle. I kind of wish this had been more dramatic. I wish it had been a more significant change to the overall experience than it is, because I still feel like, and in fact, the changes that were introduced in this release reinforce that I really believe they need a UX designer on their team. It is obvious that they lack, like, you know, really experienced UX design skills on the team. And I wish they'd invest a little bit in doing some clean, you know, just people that would notice that the margins around the search icon are different on every side, or that, you know, certain bars are and certain fonts just don't really look right because of the size that they're using compared to everything else on the screen. And someone with a design background would see and be able to correct stuff like that. So hopefully we'll see changes like that. I did talk with someone at Silicon Dust today who indicated that this release also kind of sets up the ability for them to make more incremental changes that'll take place across the board for everyone so that they can quickly iterate on stuff and improve over time.
Yeah. Cool. Well, we'll see how those changes come over time. They've been spending a lot of time on this. There have been a lot of updates over the last really 3-ish months for those who've been beta testing it. So I'm sure they're going to continue to work on it, and hopefully we'll see some of your changes implemented.
Yep.
All right. Next story. Disney. This is going to sound like bad news, but I think it ends well. Disney is killing off the FX Network standalone streaming service. So FX had their own service called FX Plus. It was $6 a month, and it got you, no surprise, on-demand streaming access to FX's shows. And it didn't have ads because you were paying for it. So shows like American Horror Story, older shows like The Shield and Sons of Anarchy, all of that stuff, Disney's killing it. No more. It's going away. August 20th is the last day. If you're a subscriber, which I'm going to bet chances are you're not. otherwise, they might not be killing this. But August 20th, last day, the current season of shows will still be available on the FX Now app. Yep, they've got two apps currently, FX Now and FX Plus. FX Now is the one that you would use if you're also paying for TV through your cable provider or something like that. So if you're paying for TV, you can still watch those shows through the FX Now app after authenticating against your pay TV provider. But eventually...
For current season stuff, right?
Correct. Correct.
So stuff like The Shield and Sons of Anarchy and things like that that aren't running anymore, you're probably not going to find there.
Probably not. Right. But here's where the good news comes in. Disney is planning to move all of this stuff to Hulu. I think that's great news. Like, this goes back to that thought around consolidation again.
Yep.
And if you're going to consolidate stuff like this, Hulu's the place to do it. Like, yep. Regardless of who you are, it's obvious for Disney because Disney owns Hulu. And this isn't children's content. Like, nothing on FX is for kids. So it makes sense that it's not going to Disney Plus, because that is going to be more geared towards kids and family. Whereas Hulu is where they're going to keep the more, I don't like saying adult because it makes it sound like pornographic, but, you know, more mature content. So I think overall, like, this is all really good news.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think I would make that Hulu delineation a little bit differently than how you did. I think Hulu is going to be where you're going to continue to find more mature originals. And perhaps movies and things like that. But as far as TV content, this is where you find what we would think of as traditional TV content.
Mm-hmm.
The stuff that's going to be over on Disney Plus is going to be more aligned with those brands that are core to Disney Plus. The Marvel, the Star Wars, the Disney, the Pixar, and the, oddly enough, Smithsonian.
I always forget that that's in there.
Or National Geographic, or whatever it was.
Yeah.
But whatever the weird thing was that was added in there.
Yeah. Yeah, so drop your FX Plus that you're paying $6 a month for. Get Hulu for $6 a month and get way more content. So yeah. That's an awesome deal. All right, our next one is... a company that I've not heard of, and there's a couple of companies here to mention. The main production company here is called FBE, and they are a company that is like betting the farm on choose your own adventure style video content. This is a company that's working on over 12 new series that use that style filmmaking. Film isn't right because it's more like TV, but this style where it's interactive and you as the viewer get to control via, you know, predetermined choices. It's not completely wide open, that would be impossible, but you get to control where the story goes. This is most similar to that episode of Black Mirror that was called Black Mirror Bandersnatch that was on Netflix. So that's the sort of thing we're talking about here. And this is all going to be available on Vudu, which is probably not the most frequently thought of streaming service, but it's a good place to find movie rentals and things like that. Most of their other stuff hasn't worked out all that well. But this is an interesting play by Vudu to snatch up this content from FBE. And they've already got one show for sure, like starting production, and it's called Epic Night. It's going to be a 5-part series that's about a college party adventure. So this sounds like, I'm hoping it's more in the comedy space. It sounds like it probably would be. So have you watched Bandersnatch?
No, I'm not up to it. I'm not up to it.
You're not up to it?
No. Okay. I'm still on season like 3, I think.
But aren't they all individual discrete episodes?
You understand my OCD, right?
Yes.
I have to do it in order.
Richard, you're killing me. I thought for sure you would have watched this.
No, not yet.
I have not watched it. It's piqued my interest. I always loved choose your own adventure kind of books. I'm obviously someone who's really into narrative driven games, for especially ones where you can control the direction the story goes. So Bandersnatch is something I've been really curious about, but man, I tried Black Mirror and that was a show that I couldn't do. Like, that show was just, it was just too much.
It's dark. It is really, really dark and disturbing.
And I watch a lot of dark stuff, but that was, it was just the wrong combination of things that I couldn't do.
Yep.
So I was hoping you had seen Bandersnatch so that I could find out, like, is this as bad as like that episode of Black Mirror that I watched, or am I going to be able to do this?
Yeah, I don't know.
You don't know.
I don't know. They're all pretty bad.
You know, actually, it doesn't matter because I canceled Hulu, so I can't watch it, or I canceled Netflix, so I can't watch it anyway.
And for what it's worth, if I'm assuming you started on episode one.
Yes.
They hit you hard out of the gate in episode one. And I don't believe that anything until episode two hits as hard as that premiere episode did.
Do you mean season two?
Season two. Yeah. Sorry. Season two. Yeah. So I don't know. Don't know what to tell you there, but yeah, this sounds interesting. I mean, I don't quite understand what is going on at Vudu these days. Vudu is a good place to buy movies. It's a good place to rent movies. They are still really the only place where you can convert your physical to digital. If that's something that you're still interested in doing, they're still adding titles where that is possible, and they still are a player in Movies Anywhere. So, yeah, I mean, this is interesting. I don't see what it has to do with anything else that Vudu is doing.
Well, they're trying streaming TV shows and stuff. They've got that really terrible free streaming stuff.
Right, where you can watch ads about their free streaming service while you're using their free stream. Right, because no one's buying ads. Whatever. Right. We'll see. We'll see how it goes.
Yep.
All right. Well, next up, we have Hulu again. We talked about Hulu earlier because Josh has Hulu. And guess what? You may now be able to watch some content in 4K.
Yay. I'm always up for more 4K content.
If you have the latest Apple TV or a Chromecast Ultra.
Okay, so I obviously don't have an Apple TV because that ain't me. We don't have Apple stuff. But I believe the Chromecast stuff that's built into my Vizio TV counts as Chromecast Ultra. I'm able to Chromecast 4K stuff to that TV. So I probably can.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll have to find out because right now Hulu is rolling out 4K for its originals. So stuff like Handmaid's Tale, Catch 22, they have a bunch of originals. Just most of them probably haven't made the splash that Handmaid's has.
Mm-hmm.
And they're expecting that they'll be expanding that library in the future. Obviously, they can't turn content that they don't own into 4K content if they're not provided 4K content. But now that they can serve it up, maybe they'll ask for that when they're getting libraries from different providers.
Yeah, that would be nice. And hopefully it starts to come to more of their apps, the Android TV app, the Xbox app, all those things. So more than just Apple TV, that'd be nice.
Yeah, and well, I mean, that's the problem when Hulu launches stuff like that is they're slow to roll it out. Remember, we had the same issue. In fact, I don't think it is fully rolled out yet with, believe it or not, 5.1 sound as opposed to just stereo.
Right. Yeah, it's crazy to think that that's still something we don't have universally across the board.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, finally, this is just a quick reminder that at the end of the month of July, This is July. I don't know how that's possible, but this is July. At the end of the month of July, Ultraviolet is shutting down. We talked about this before. I wrote something up about it on the DMZ. And the short of it is, if you still have any content that you haven't redeemed yet, you can still redeem it through Vudu. And you must ensure that your Vudu account is still connected to your Ultraviolet account and keep it connected through the 31st, because only those accounts that are connected will then retain all the content that Ultraviolet makes available in Vudu. If you disconnect your account, then you're not going to have that content available in Vudu when Ultraviolet shuts down. If you keep it connected, you'll keep all that content. And the good news is that a lot of that content, not all of it, but a lot of it, is on Movies Anywhere. So if you hook Vudu into Movies Anywhere, then that content will federate across services like iTunes and Google through, I believe with Google, it's through YouTube. And I can't remember all of the other. I think Xfinity is one of the players there. So really, it's a much better solution. It's the solution that works better for consumers. And then we can finally wave the flag at Ultraviolet as the sun sets.
Right. I do feel like it's necessary whenever we talk about Movies Anywhere to point out, as our British friends so often point out, that it's not really Movies Anywhere, because it's not everywhere. It's great if you live here in the U.S. It's not so great if you live in England and many other places. So,
Movies Anywhere they are.
Yeah.
Exactly. Something like that.
Exactly. All right, that's it for all of our video news. The gaming news, Richard said at the beginning, it's mostly video and gaming. There's really not gaming news here, just a quick update because it's now the second half of July. So a quick reminder on the Xbox Live Games with Gold. You've got a new title here on both Xbox One and on the Xbox 360 side. For Xbox One, Big Crown Showdown. And on Xbox 360, Meet the Robinsons. Now, there's one other title that I wanted to talk about, Richard. Last week, when we announced all of these, I said, you need to go and get Inside, and you need to try it. Have you gotten it, and have you tried it?
Well, I've gotten it, but of course I haven't tried it yet.
What do you mean, of course you haven't tried it yet? Come on.
It's a game.
I know.
So one more thing to start and not finish.
It's not very long.
I have too many things started.
It's not very long. You need to start this. Start this one too. That's good. I want to see if you can play it. And I'm very curious to hear what you think of it.
Maybe.
And what you think it means. It's good art.
Okay.
It's fun. All right. That's it for our news this week. I want to remind people, if you like this show, I'm not going to tell you to go out and like give us reviews and all that stuff. Like I hear so many other podcasts who are like, rate us and review us on iTunes. It's a definite way to help us and a definite way to have other people find the show. No, actually, it's not.
That's not how it works.
Nope, it isn't. You know what is a great way to let other people know about the show? Tell them. Tell them on social. If you're listening right now, take a screenshot. Share it on Twitter. Share it on Instagram. Share it on Facebook. And send people a link. Tell them to listen to the show because it's awesome. Right? That's why you're listening, because it's awesome. So go ahead and share it with your friends on social. That's a good way to tell people about the show. All right, Richard, what's going on in your entertainment center? Because there's always so much more in yours than what's going on in mine.
Yeah, a bunch. So first off, this weekend I was in DC. I haven't been in downtown DC and actually gotten out of the car and gone into businesses and stuff for quite a while. And I had some business there, so while I was there, I decided to stop in to some stores in Georgetown, and I discovered that we have an Amazon bookstore in Georgetown.
What?
Have you ever been in Amazon Books?
I didn't even know that was a thing.
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah. Oh, Josh, it is wonderful.
Really?
It is absolutely wonderful. I love Amazon bookstores.
Hmm. So what is it you love?
Yeah. Yeah. So part of the reason that I love Amazon bookstores is because they sell electronics gadgets.
The best kind of bookstores sell electronics.
Right. Because Amazon both makes and sells electronics gadgets. So they sell smart home stuff. No surprise, because it works with the Echoes. They sell Echoes. Right. They sell Fire TVs. They sell cables and chargers and all kinds of stuff. It is a really great. If you ever are in a town that has one, you need to go. I managed to escape buying only an Amazon 4K Fire Stick. Now, why did I need this? Because the Fire Stick that I have is first gen. It's not 4K.
Mm.
My TV is 4K.
Yeah, who wants a non-4K anything?
Right, exactly. So I needed it. The other thing that's cool about it is it comes with a remote that has the volume control and the power, which the original remote did not have.
Blah.
Right. So I'm going to pack that remote away with the Fire TV dongle that I take with me on the road when I travel, because that'll make my life a little bit easier there. Mm-hmm. And then I hooked up the new 4K Fire Stick to my TV and went through that whole process of signing in to every single service again. Now, I don't know that I'm going to use it much as opposed to my Apple TV, but one of the things that it does have is the native HD Home Run app. And that's the main reason that I wanted it, is that right. I wanted to be able to use the Home Run app without having to start up the Xbox. And it's just a lot faster to jump into it in the Amazon Fire TV Stick.
That makes sense.
The next day was Prime Day. It was available for half price.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And I bought it in the store. So I can't just say, oh, I want to get the new price on... Right. Can't do that. Oh, well.
I think there was even a deal where you'd get it for half price and it would include 3 months of a Sling TV.
Yeah, that one. That was... Yeah. Yep. That's the one. All right. So, speaking of HD Home Run, I have been trying to use the Scribe Quattro a little bit more, and I've been recording some things. I recorded a show that I've really been excited about, and I wanted to watch off of PBS, called Chasing the Moon, which is a three-part, meaning six-hour-long movie about the Apollo missions.
I totally forgot about this.
Yeah.
I totally forgot to set the TiVo to record that.
Well, you'll have another chance because PBS is playing the hell out of it. And it's very likely that you'll have multiple opportunities to re-record it. And many areas get multiple PBS stations anyway. Mm-hmm. So I actually was a little bit challenged trying to figure out how to record this. And I think I talked about this last week, where when I went to record a series, it wanted to record every single one, but I don't want every one. Well, apparently, it's smart enough not to record every one. It uses a priority scheme to identify which one to record, but then it still shows that it's going to record every one. So it's confusing, but it recorded the episodes of this. And I started to watch them. And I thought, huh, that doesn't look as good as I expected it to. So I'm betting that it recorded it off of my cable instead of off of the antenna, which I'm kind of bummed by.
Yeah.
But yeah, anyway, so the Scribe is working out pretty well, and I'll continue to use that more. I also finally connected an old Sonos Connect that I had. That's the device that lets you hook up existing speakers into your Sonos sound system. And I connected it to my Pioneer AV receiver, which about a year ago received an update that allowed it to kind of work better with Sonos. So I don't quite know what exactly it does to make it work better, except that it senses when it has a signal coming in. So if you send something to that Sonos, then it will turn on the receiver. And that way you can basically use your AV receiver speakers as part of your Sonos system, which is kind of cool.
That is cool.
Now, in hooking that up, I also realized that there were other updates that had come out for my 3-year-old Pioneer receiver.
Wow.
And I was kind of shocked because I didn't think we'd be getting any more updates for that old box. It's a 2016 receiver. They have updated it for AirPlay 2, which is pretty amazing. Same thing, send something to it and it will turn on automatically. And they've added Amazon Music streaming to it. Like, I'm kind of blown away.
Yeah. Who does this? Who updates? it's not a streaming, like it's not a normal streaming device. If this was a 3-year-old Roku, you would expect that, but not a 3-year-old AV receiver.
Yeah. So good on Onkyo for kind of, you know, keeping their old products up to date.
Yeah. That's great.
On the viewing front, I've been watching Big Brother, of course. I started watching Extras because that's what the catalog show is that they're watching now on Spoiler and Time.
And what is Extras?
Extras is a 2-season UK series featuring Ricky Gervais. And the concept is that he's an extra. He and his friend are extras. And they're constantly on different sets with different stars trying to get a better gig in the film that they're being extras in. Like, they're trying to get lines so that they can be credited. But they just go from movie to movie being extras, basically.
Hmm.
So it's entertaining. I like it much, much better than The Office.
Wow.
And it's because his character in this is palatable. You can actually like him. He's just kind of an idiot as opposed to being a complete jerk like he is in The Office. So then I finally caught up on season 6, the current season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So I'm all up to date on that. And that actually ended fairly recently with what I would consider kind of a mid-season finale, but it is starting up again with a continued story, so that'll be going on. Then this weekend, we watched two movies, basically. We watched Stargate Origins Catherine. I don't know if anybody remembers, but about a year or two ago, the group behind Stargate put together an online service that you could pay to subscribe to, and you'd have access to a whole bunch of Stargate stuff, including new originals, which were in the form of webisodes, basically. And they put together this series of origin stories all around this character, Catherine, who is kind of an iconic part of the story. And this apparently is the compilation of all of that in a movie. I don't know if the online service still exists or not. I can't imagine people are really paying monthly or quarterly or whatever it was to continue to access stuff about a dead series.
Right.
But who knows? Then we also watched the movie Alpha, which didn't get the greatest reviews, but we really liked it. We're dog people, so that probably had something to do with it, but we really liked it. And to watch that, it was on Stars. So I started a free trial for a free week of Stars. And while we have Stars, I figured, okay, well, I'll revisit American Gods. So I'm now trying to finish out the first season of American Gods. One more thing I wanted to talk about. I mentioned Chasing the Moon earlier. Like I said, I was kind of disappointed in the recording. So then I figured, okay, well, I'll just go to the PBS app and I'll watch it there. That was terrible. The video quality there was really, really bad. And it was only available in stereo. So I wasn't going to watch that. So I just gave in and I paid the $8 to buy the 3 episodes on iTunes. And they're beautiful, like inky blacks, really good, high quality video. I'm much, much happier with it. So if this is something that you're interested in watching and you don't have the ability to watch it off of your antenna, I might suggest buying it from one of the services that's selling the episodes.
Yeah, especially for $8.
Yeah, exactly. $8 for 6 hours of content.
That's really good.
All right. How about you, Josh?
I've got way more than I did last time, even though it's only been a week. So watched a couple more episodes of Homeland, season 3, nearing the end of that season there. I did finally get some time to play a game, playing Gears of War 4. This is really the first time I've played a Gears of War since, I think I played the original Gears of War for a night with a friend of mine way back in, 2008 or something like that, back on the Xbox 360. Playing this, of course, with Joe DiStasio, doing it co-op. It's fun. It's a lot of fun. Like, it's, I don't know. Like, I don't think that these are the greatest games of all time or anything like that, but they're well done. They're fairly cinematic-ish. They've got a somewhat interesting story. And the characters are fun and interesting. So it's been good. It's been really good.
Cool.
And then I also, this is maybe far less frequent for me, went and saw a movie. So
no.
I did. And it's not what you would expect me to see. And it's because it was a very unusual situation for me. My oldest daughter, she really did a number on herself. She ended up dislocating her knee pretty badly. So she spent the weekend like in an immobilizer walking around like a penguin. So she couldn't really do much. And we, got to Sunday and we're like, well, the youngest kid wants to go to the park. The oldest kid can't walk very well. So I guess we'll split up and I'll take the oldest one to a movie. And I let her pick, and it kind of came down to like Aladdin or Yesterday. She said she really wanted to see Yesterday. Which kind of surprised me.
Yeah. Because
she's not like some big Beatles fan, but she really thought the movie looked interesting. So that's what we went and saw. And I was more excited to see Yesterday than I was about seeing Aladdin. So it was good. I really enjoyed this movie. It was a lot of fun. It's rated PG-13, but it's absolutely, I had no problems watching this with my 11-year-old daughter. There's a couple of swear words and a couple of makeout sessions, but it's not super graphic in any way or anything like that. So I think it's perfectly acceptable for older kids like that. And the music is really good. It's fun and funny, and it was really enjoyable. I liked it a lot.
Cool.
Yeah, you should definitely see it. And then, of course, like we mentioned earlier, I signed up for Hulu over the weekend, but haven't really used it myself yet. So, I've got a question. I haven't really looked into this myself yet, and I wonder if you know, or any of our listeners know, is there a way to lock it down on certain installs to just be kid stuff? Like, my daughter would like to have it on her phone, and I'm like, I don't know that I want you to have Hulu on your phone. Because there's a whole lot of stuff on Hulu that I don't want you watching. But I don't. If there was a way to lock it down to just the kid stuff, then I wouldn't be so worried.
So from what I understand, if they have their own profile, then when they go into that profile, you can set the profile up so that you can limit it to things that don't include TVMA.
Oh, okay.
Now, how you keep them only using that profile, I don't know the answer to that.
That's true. Yeah.
Although, I might argue that unless someone has the kind of kids that are actively trying to get to stuff that they're not supposed to see, most kids are probably just going to want to see, hey, I want my shows, not mom and dad shows. I want to see the things that it's recommending for me.
Right. Yeah. All right, well, that's it for what's going on in my entertainment center, and it's basically it for what's going on with this episode. So if you want to get a hold of us or just chat with us about things you're watching or news stories that have caught your eye lately, you can find us on Twitter. Richard is at Richard Gunther. I'm at Josh Pollard, and the website is at DigiMediaZone. We're also on Instagram and Facebook. All of that stuff is right there on our show notes over at thedigitalmediazone.com. We've also got other podcasts like Richard's other show, Home On. What's going on with Home On, Richard?
Well, I'd say that our latest contributors episode is a big hit. People seem to really enjoy the episode we did with Jimmy Hawkins. It's actually trending better so far than anything we've had on Home On for over a year and a half.
Wow.
So, yeah, that's really good to see.
Those
I think it was
episodes.
A lot of fun, and people seem to like it, so that's good.
Yeah.
Next up, in fact, tomorrow, I'm recording an episode with the editor of Architectural Digest Pro, which is an Architectural Digest kind of analysis site for professionals. And we are going to talk about trends in the kitchen and kitchen design and smart kitchen technology. So I think that's going to be an interesting discussion too. That should be out sometime next week.
Awesome. Well, we also invite you to come and participate in the show because we normally record this live through Mixer. So there's video and audio and a chat room that you can participate in. Tuesday nights, typically 8:30 p.m. Eastern. Follow us on Twitter to know for sure when we're going to go live, because that's going to do it for episode 490. He's Richard Gunther, and I'm Josh Pollard. Thanks for listening to Entertainment 2.0. Adios.
Goodbye.